How many of you came here for a blessing today? Really? Good, good. You know, am I on? Let's see. Yep, okay, there I am. Okay, just want to be sure you could hear me. I don't want you to sit there in ignorance. Oh, well, you know, everybody's blessing's a little bit different. Some people like, how many people like rock and roll music or aren't afraid to raise your hand and say you like rock and roll music? Okay, we got a few of those. I know some of you like Southern gospel. I heard someone have a prayer. How many of you like classical music? Oh, okay. Let's see, what else? There's jazz, and there's, you know, some people, they've got a jazz fan back there that plays the trumpet, right? Yeah. Sometimes some churches have wars over what kind of music to have, whether to have a set of drums or whether to have a guitar or rather to have fast-moving music or slow, soft, comforting music. You know, we all have different appetites for music, and sometimes we have different appetites for blessings. What may be a blessing for one person may not be a blessing for somebody else. Did you ever think of that? And certain messages might be good for some people, and so other people say, well, I don't know about that thought. But, you know, the important thing is that we get tuned in to God's blessings, whatever way they come to us. I've heard of people saying, well, I don't want to go to the kingdom or glory or whatever you call it. All they're going to be doing is sitting around playing harps, and I don't know how to play a harp. Or all you're going to be doing is floating on a cloud, and that don't seem very interesting after the first 5 minutes. You see, we have to get tuned in to how God wants to bless us. And so we're going to talk about Jacob's blessing. He was an interesting character. His name means a person that takes advantage or swindles. He takes the opportunist, maybe would be another word. He grabbed a hold of his brother's foot as he's coming out the womb. So, you know, he wanted to get the best advantage or the best opportunity. All through his life, he took advantage, sometimes in a negative way toward people. But when we think about a blessing, what would a blessing from God to you be worth? I want you to think about that as we're talking about this. Jacob risked a lot to get God's blessings, didn't he? Took chances. What kinds of sacrifices would you make for the blessing that you want from God? When you come to church, is your mind in a framework to receive a blessing? Is your heart prepared? Have you prepared yourself for a blessing? Because some people come to church and they either half fall asleep or they aren't quite there or whatever. And really, we need to come prepared for a blessing. You know, in the South, they'll fix these great big huge meals. And you'll be sitting there in the living room, literally starving to death because you smell this aroma coming out of the kitchen and you're just smelling it and you're just, and they're, you know, they get you to the point where you'll eat anything, you know? And so we need to kind of come hungry, come prepared to receive the blessing that God has for us and to accept the blessing. Jacob and Esau, do you know the story of Jacob and Esau? You know, some of them where he made a bowl of lentils or red stew or whatever it was that he made. And he came in hungry and his brother said, give me a bowl of soup here. His brother said, well, you sell your birthright, I'll give you a bowl of soup. And so he said, what's a birthright to me? I'm starving to death. I'm giving the SJK version of it. Anyway, so he took the bowl of soup, pledged his birthright, and gave it away. But there was two things that came along here, and I don't know how they fit into today's age, but we can see in their age and then kind of make application today. But there was another thing that could be received. So Jacob or Esau might have gave away his birthright saying, well, I'll still get the blessing. And you'll notice that throughout Genesis particularly, they will make a big point about the blessing and what it is. And so Esau says to, Isaac says to Esau, go out hunting, and maybe some of us would be quick to do that, and get me some good meat and prepare it the way I enjoy it, the special seasonings or whatever that you put on it, and the way you roast it. And so it kind of goes back to eating again. You know, I'm getting hungry. What do we got for lunch? Something good, I hope. Anyway, but Esau went out, and he went hunting. But at that time, somebody was listening to Isaac. His wife was there and said, and then she goes over to the other son, because Esau was the one, you know, they had favorites. Isaac kind of favored Esau, and Rebekah favored Jacob. So she heard the thing and said, come on, Jacob, come over here. We're going to take some sheep. Or goats, it was, I think. Goats are a little wilder, aren't they? They have a little bit of wilder taste, closer to deer meat, I think. Anyhow, you kill me a couple of goats, and we'll season them up, and you go in and pretend to be your brother, and you get the blessing. And so he said, now, wait a second, Mom. I'm ready to go, but the only thing is, my brother Esau, he's hairy. Have you ever seen somebody really hairy? I've seen a guy that you could make a carpet out of his back. I mean, he couldn't tell where to stop shaving, you know, kind of kept going, you know, and up his neck. I mean, they didn't know where to stop cutting his hair, you know. He was hairy. But apparently Esau was really hairy. And they said, well, he will know that we're deceiving him, and he'll give me a curse instead of a blessing. And Rebecca said, well, tell you what, you take the skin of those goats that you killed. Now think about this. You're going to be the favored son, or trying to be the favored son. So you kill an animal and you cover up your wrongness with that of the animal that you killed. It kind of represented, it kind of points to something, doesn't it? Because whenever Jesus died on the cross and we claim his righteousness, he dies as a lamb, and his righteousness covers us. And when the Father, who is God, sees us, he doesn't see us. He sees the righteousness of his Son. And you ever realize that? That's a picture of salvation. Anyway, so she makes, I'm still having a hard time figuring out how she wrapped his arm in such a way that Isaac didn't recognize it. But anyhow, she did, and put some on his neck. And you can see it up here in the kind of thing. He's kind of half blind and can't see, or pretty blind and can't see. And so he goes in there and says, here I am, my father, and I've brought you the meat you enjoy, and now come and eat and bless me. And he says, wait a second, it don't sound right. It don't sound right. So he comes closer and he grabs his arms and feels the hairiness and feels the back of his neck, takes a big whiff. Apparently, outdoor clothes smelled different from sheep herder clothes. Maybe it was a better smell, I don't know. But anyway, so he smelled the freshness of the outdoors, and he said, "Are you really my son?" He said, "Yes, I'm your son, Esau." And so he lied, and Isaac pronounced a blessing on him. Soon as he got done blessing, here comes Esau, day late and a dollar short, day late and a blessing short, right? And he comes in, and let's pick this up a little bit later. I want to read some of this. It's a long passage. I didn't want to read it all. And let's see, where do we want to start? Down about 20, and Isaac asked his son, "How did you get this so quickly, my son?" And he said, "The Lord," that's in verse 20, "the Lord gave it to me, gave me success." And he replied, "And then Isaac said to Jacob, 'Come near so I can touch you, my son, and know whether you are really my son, Esau, or not.' And Jacob went close to his father Isaac, and who touched him and said, 'The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands, they're the hands of Esau.' And he did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he proceeded to bless him. 'And are you really Esau, my son?' he asked one more time. 'And I am,' he replied. Then he said, 'My son, bring me some of your game that I might eat, so I may give you my blessing.' And Jacob brought to him, and he ate, and brought wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said to him, 'Come here, my son, and kiss me.' And so he went to him, and he kissed him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, 'Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness and an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. And may those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed.' And after Isaac finished blessing him, Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, and the brother Esau came." And can you imagine? This guy tricked me out of my birthright. He tricked me out of my blessing. And there was a really, really sad and deep cry. You know, whenever we lose the birthright that God gives us, if we were to lose the blessing that God gives us, I can promise you the day you realize it, it will be a woeful, tearful cry. Now, this blessing is something very, very special. And you might say, well, what kind of blessing was Jacob willing to risk all this? Because he could have been found out. He could have been cursed. And it was very important. But what kind of blessing? Maybe he was looking for children. Maybe he was looking for land. Maybe he was looking for a heritage or wealth or protection. And of course, all those are in the blessings of Abraham, because Abraham got the blessing of God, and that transferred to Isaac, and that transferred now to Jacob. But you know, God has a way of be sure your sins will find you out. It's an Old Testament verse. My brother used to quote me all the time. I don't know why he quoted that to me, but he did. And God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, that will you also reap. Well, he sowed deception by deceiving his father, didn't he? And then on his wedding night, a little bit later we'll get to that, but on his wedding night they had a wife swap. he didn't get the pretty one with the good eyes. He got the one that wasn't pretty in his eyes anyway. And he got her to wife. Boy, I wonder if he thought back. Boy, I traded a blessing and now look what I got. Of course, that ended up being the wife he loved and was buried with. His uncle Laban, when he went to work for him, changed his wages every time he turned around. 10 times you've changed my wages. So that if these cows were, or these sheep were reproducing the best sheep, he changed to something else. And then when they started reproducing better sheep, he changed to something else. And then I think the final blow that might have woke him up and said, hey, listen, Jacob, what you did was wrong. They brought back the torn and bloodied garments, bloodied coat of many colors that he had gave to his favored son. And he must have gotten killed or eaten by a wild animal. And of course, you know the story of Joseph, and eventually he found out. But what a price to pay for deceiving others. What a heartache to pay. Well, I want to talk about the value of a blessing. Because when we talk about a blessing, you may not think, I mean, we don't do that today. I didn't call my two kids up and put my right hand on one of them, my left hand on the other, and say, now I'm going to bless you. We didn't do it in a formal, this is almost a formal ritual that they did, and maybe we ought to still be doing it. But I want you to see the value, some of the value of this blessing. Because whenever he said that, if you'll look back in chapter 27, verse 4, and in the King James, it says, it uses a kind of a different word. He didn't just say, well, I want to bless you. He said, and he's talking to Esau at this time, but he says, my soul may bless thee. Come and get that food and get that stuff so that my soul might bless thee. And so this goes deeper. The word is nephesh, meaning soul. It goes deeper than just, oh, I want to give you $50 to go have a party. That's, you know, or whatever. I want to give you a new car. Whatever kind of blessing you might think of giving, this is a soul blessing. This is a heart blessing. And so Isaac wanted to give his son. Nephesh means that it has like the throat. You know, you get somebody by the throat, that's pretty serious. Or the neck, or the breath, the deepest part of the person or being. And so this blessing came way deep within, and as Abraham had transferred his blessing to Isaac, Isaac needed to transfer his blessing to his son from down deep. And this was not only a physical blessing, it was a spiritual blessing from God. Could we have ways that we could spiritually bless our children? That somehow we could let them know that they are blessed. You know, whenever I was young, I always was trying to vie for the attention or approval of my dad. And that was a hard thing for me. It really was. It seemed like I never could do much right. And I wanted that approval, especially when I went to keeping a different day of worship and did some weird things that he thought were weird anyway. To get that approval, to get that blessing, to get that acceptance. Whatever you do, let your kids know that you love them and accept them. Figure out ways to bless them, to touch them, to encourage them. This old world will give you lots of discouragement, and just to have that backing to know that there was that approval, that appreciation, that love, that acceptance. This blessing would be something akin, when it speaks of God working 6 days and making the earth and resting, it says his soul was refreshed. The deepest part of God was refreshed on the Sabbath day. I don't know what that means. It's just, but I know, I say, wow. Is the deepest part of your soul refreshed and blessed on the Sabbath? Melchizedek blessed Abraham. It says in chapter 14 of Genesis, verse 18, it says, "And then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was a priest of God, the Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, 'Blessed be Abram by God, Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise to be to the Most High, God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand.' And then Abram gave him a tenth of everything." You know, whenever we're blessed by God, we need to respond. You know, if you don't have much money, give your heart. If you got a little money, give a little. If you got a lot of money, give a lot. But whatever, you want to respond. How do you respond to God? Come to church on Sabbath and respond to God and his blessing. If there's somebody in need, help that person in need and be blessed by God's blessing you and you blessing them. Blessings aren't something that you keep. They're something that you give away. When God has blessed you, bless others. Tell them you care about them. Go visit them when they're sick, or just give them a call, or just give them a helping hand. You be a conduit. You know, the best way to get the most blessings is to be a conduit of the blessings of God flowing through you. Now, when Jacob seemed to spend his life chasing the blessings. Of course, he did that when he was running away from the enemy. It's funny, he was chasing the blessings and running away. He's always running. He'd make enemies here, and then he'd go there, make enemies there, and go someplace else. You know, he just kind of kept running. But he also was chasing the blessing. Do you chase the blessing? Do you go where the blessings are to be had? Where are the blessings at? Blessings from God are on your knees. Blessings from God are in his word. The blessings of God are in our singing of praises to him. The blessings of God are in fellowship. The blessing of God is when we hear God's word preached. Are you going after, are you chasing after the blessings? Jacob did. And in the end, he really got blessed, didn't he? He made a lot of mistakes, but he kept chasing the blessing of God. It says when he reached, we're in 28 of Genesis. When he reached a certain place, he stopped at night. He was running from Esau. And because the sun was set, taking one of the stones he put it under his head and laid down to sleep. And he had a dream, and he saw a stairway resting on the earth and its top reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending. He got this picture of God at work, God alive, God sending his angels and watching out for him and going back and getting information and coming back and back and forth. And there above it stood the Lord and said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac, and I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying, and your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will and you will spread out the rest to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples of the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. And I am with you, and I will watch over you. Are you getting the blessing? That's God to us too, isn't it? And I will watch over you, and I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. And when Jacob awoke from sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't even know it. Chasing after the blessing. Are you there when God is ready to bless? Early the next morning, Jacob took a stone, and when he placed it that he had placed under his head, set it up on as a pillar and poured oil on it on top of it, and he said, "This is the house of God, Bethel." That's what it means, house of God. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and watch over me on this journey, I am taking and will give food, or and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house. Then the Lord will be with. Then the Lord will be my God, and the stone that I have set up will be a pillar in God's house. And all that you give me, I will give you a tenth." You know, whenever we respond to God by giving of our means. A tenth doesn't ask for 90%, doesn't ask for 80%. He just asks for 10% of our increase. When we do that, we are responding to God's love. We are responding to God's love. As he was, after he'd been in Haran for some time and his uncle had cheated him, he starts back across the same journey. He goes, if you're facing this way, here's Israel, and up here's where Haran is in your map of your mind. As he came back, he was worried. His brother said he'd kill him last time he saw him. 20 years later, he was worried. And so he put his wife and family out front. I don't know, that doesn't sound very brave to me, but he did. And then he stayed there on the other side of the stream or whatever that night. And he found himself wrestling, fighting. Do you ever find yourself fighting in turmoil? And in this case, he ended up wrestling with a man. And that man was an angel. And he wouldn't let go. You know, in our prayers, sometimes we need to wrestle a little bit harder. Sometimes we need to pray. We need to cry out to God. We need to spend time just anguishing before God and asking him and begging him and pleading with him. Sometimes our prayers say, "Lord, why don't you fix this and I'll talk to you later." Is that the way things get fixed? He wrestled with God, with the angel, all night. And he says, "I won't let go until you give me the blessing. I won't let go till I get the blessing." And I think that's where we need to be. You know, we don't linger in church. We don't linger in song. We don't linger in prayer. We don't have much of an altar service. And I'm not saying we have to do that every week. But you know, we don't do that, do we? We don't have prayer meetings. If we do, few or none come. We don't do the Bibling they used to do. Let's get in the Bible. Let's dig it out. We get some fancy speaker. We can get anybody there. But to get into the Bible and study and search and dig and find. Are we ready to wrestle for a blessing? Are we ready to hold on to God and grab Him so tight and not let go until He gives us the blessing? Jacob had the name swindler, thief, cheat. And God said, what's your name? He said, my name is Jacob, swindler, chief, thief, opportunist. He said, I'm going to give you a new name. I'm going to call you the Prince of God. Israel. Do you want the blessing? Are you willing to work for the blessing? You know, we're not saved by works, but I guarantee you, you have to put something into the process. You have to want it bad enough. You have to hunger and thirst after righteousness. When we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will be filled. When you seek for God with all your heart, I want the blessing. I want God's blessing on our church, in my home, with my children. How bad do I want the blessing? Well, you tell me how hard you want to put or how much effort you want to put in finding, reaching out, touching God and seeing His face and feeling and sensing and receiving the blessing. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. But we can do it together. We're going to close our service with a song. And if for some reason the Lord